It's Monday, March 9th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. It was quite a fun weekend for me up here in the Pacific Northwest. One of the board members from Oregon Normal, Dave Bram, and his bride, Andrea, got married this Saturday out in Bend, Oregon, and I traveled out there to enjoy the festivities. I got to tell you, it was probably one of the most unique weddings I've ever been to. It was held outdoors at a place called the Fun Farm, which had all sorts of interesting knickknacks and statues all about. And the processional music included things like the Monty Python Liberty Bell March, the old John Philip Sousa March, the Imperial Death March from Star Wars, you know, dun, 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 dun. And they're coming to take me away, ha ha. So if you can imagine a wedding where those are some of the songs being played, you got kind of an idea what kind of a fun gathering it was for Dave and Andrea's wedding. The bride and the groom were resplendent in handmade, all sustainable fiber clothing. Dave's shirt was made of bamboo. It was one of the most amazing things. It was so soft and wonderful. And there was hemp embroidery and all sorts of things. It was just a great experience. And I want to dedicate today's stash to Dave and Andrea and wishing them a happy and healthy life together. Now, also got some news alerts here we need to break. In Kentucky, there may be a vote tomorrow in committee on this Senate Bill 5. Now, this is the bill in Kentucky that would create zero tolerance drug driving legislation there. Basically, this means that if they find any detectable level of marijuana in your blood, you're considered a DUI, even if you're not impaired at the time. So check our alerts page for more information on how to contact the legislators in Kentucky to oppose this SB 5. Also, tomorrow we've got a couple of hearings that are happening at the same time in two different time zones. 10 o'clock Eastern, we've got a hearing in New Hampshire on medical marijuana, and in Montana at 8 o'clock Mountain Time, we've got a hearing as well on marijuana law reform. Again, check out our activist alerts by clicking the map on the right-hand side of the stash. And one more thing from the entertainment world, comedian D.L. Hughley has a show on CNN called D.L. Hughley Breaks the News, and he had this to say about the possible legalization of marijuana in California.
This happened in California. That is amazing to me. Of course, they're in the middle of a huge budget crisis, and they're thinking outside the box. They're actually thinking of legalizing marijuana and taxing it, legalizing marijuana for recreational use and taxing it. And I got to tell you, I am so in favor of this. Yeah. I am so tired of pretending like I have glaucoma. Or going to visit my grandmother twice a week. It's hard. Just think what that do for the economy. Can you imagine what the sales of Captain Crunch are going to be like? Are you crazy? People say, are you high? Yes, and I'm a law-abiding citizen. The new California state motto is gas, grass, or ass. That's it.
All right, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we've got your hemp headlines, including some scary news out of Los Angeles that may make us rethink what Eric Holder said about the DEA raids. We've got some reefer madness from a former law enforcement officer who has a bone to pick with our own Paul Armentano. I think you'll enjoy it. In our interview segment for Pot and Politics today, we're going to be speaking with Josh Schimberg from Texas Normal, and he's going to tell us a little bit about the difficulties in trying to start and run a Normal chapter deep in the heart of Texas. Our musical break is Message Monday, so we're going to be having some great music here for you from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, The Pot Song by Red Dirt, and in our second interview segment, Benjamin Wilhelm from Western Pennsylvania Normal on starting a Normal chapter in the Pittsburgh area. It's going to be another exciting week in marijuana law reform, and we're going to bring it all to you. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Los Angeles U.S. Attorney memo to halt raids is revoked. We reported on U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder's announcement regarding the Obama administration's policy on medical marijuana providers in the states with medical marijuana programs. The Attorney General said, quote, "What the president said during the campaign is now American policy," end quote, referring to then-candidate Obama's statement last April. When asked about medical marijuana on a trip through Oregon, Obama said, quote, "What I'm not going to be doing is using Justice Department resources to try to circumvent state laws on this issue," end quote. Did we celebrate too soon? Is anybody concerned that nobody has specifically said the U.S. Justice Department will not raid providers of medical marijuana in the states where that is legal, or even used the words medical marijuana with respect to these statements? Are you frightened that these statements leave a bit too much wiggle room for clever politicians? Well, this latest story comes in from the Los Angeles Times, and it might affect your answer. The U.S. attorney in Los Angeles sent a confidential memo to prosecutors last week, ordering them to stop filing charges against medical marijuana dispensaries, then abruptly lifted the ban on Friday, according to sources familiar with the developments. A Justice Department official said Friday that the Attorney General did not direct the U.S. Attorney in Los Angeles or any other U.S. attorney to alter policies regarding the prosecution of such cases. In addition to being told to stop filing new cases, prosecutors were instructed to refrain from issuing subpoenas or applying for search warrants in pending cases, said the sources, who requested anonymity because they were not authorized to speak publicly about the matter. Another email came out on Friday instructing prosecutors to resume work on medical marijuana cases. Here's my prediction. we will see more medical marijuana dispensary raids, and the Obama administration will claim they have no issue with legitimate medical marijuana providers, but these providers were operating outside California law, and these providers were diverting medical marijuana to the black market, and these providers were selling to minors, and a whole raft of excuses where they emphasize that these providers are a reasonable exception to the using Justice Department resources because they were outside of Prop 215, SB 420, and Jerry Brown's guidelines, and therefore the DEA is not circumventing state laws on the issue. I hope I'm wrong, because if Barack Obama can't foresee the enormous backlash even one more raid will provoke, he's not as savvy a politician as I once thought. Addiction Science Network's position statement on medical marijuana. The Addiction Science Network specifically, 1, endorses the medicinal use of marijuana for compassionate use, including non-terminal but chronic illnesses such as multiple sclerosis, fibromyalgia, and other conditions involving neuropathic pain unresponsiveness to conventional medications. 2, firmly disagrees with the National Institute of Drug Abuse, the Food and Drug Administration, the Drug Enforcement Administration, and other government agencies that purport marijuana to be highly addictive substance, similar to cocaine and heroin. In fact, we consider this assertion to be particularly irresponsible and call upon these government agencies to soften their rhetoric regarding marijuana and to recognize its actual status as a, quote, soft drug. 3. Support the decriminalization of marijuana and applauds progressive state legislative bodies such as that seen in our home state of New York who have already de facto decriminalized marijuana. And 4, while not advocating the recreational use of marijuana, presently withholds opinion on this popular activity. It's always amazed me that anyone who works in addiction could possibly put cannabis in the same club as heroin. Marijuana is about as addictive as coffee, and only about 9% of marijuana smokers ever develop a clinical dependence. Or, let me put it this way. As a 12-year-old, I watched my dad kick alcohol and speed cold turkey, sweating and puking and twitching and hallucinating in a single-wide trailer over the span of 3 horrendous weeks. I've smoked a lot of pot in my life, but lack of bud never put me through anything remotely close to that. U.S. military speeding help to Mexico. Admiral Mike Mullen, the U.S. chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was recently quoted discussing the drug war in Mexico and the U.S. reaction to it. Quote, "I share their deep concern over organized crime and narco trafficking and appreciate their vigorous efforts to improve security," Mullen said. "Mexico is not just our neighbor. She is our good friend and a nation with whom we share a long border and shared responsibilities. I come here to listen and to learn and to try to see the security challenges we both face through the eyes of Mexican leaders. We're all working very hard to move the capabilities that are desirable to Mexico as quickly as we can," Admiral Mike Mullen told reporters by phone from his aircraft after holding talks in Mexico. The U.S. military was, quote, "sharing a lot of lessons we've learned, how we've developed similar capabilities over the last 3 or 4 years in our counterinsurgency efforts as we have fought terrorist networks. There are an awful lot of similarities," end quote. So, of course, the result of this is that the United States is going to be sending even more money and assistance to Mexico through Plan Mexico, primarily in intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance. Nice to know that they're using the same techniques they use against terrorists, against the marijuana trade, but they never stop to think of the most obvious solution, and that is legalization of marijuana in America to take the business out of the hands of the violent Mexican drug gangs.
"Marijuana is an addictive drug, which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright."
Ex-cop Paul Armentano is simplistic, sophomoric, and shallow. And that's just the S's. Normal's deputy director, Paul Armentano, may be one of the most educated and informed human beings on planet Earth when it comes to marijuana law reform and scientific studies on cannabis. He has been sought for expert testimony on witness stands all across the country. He has been published in journals, magazines, and websites, and given countless radio and television interviews on the subject. So, it is always fun to read some prohibitionist ad hominem attacks against Paul's articles. This one below comes from a reader of Paul's local newspaper in Vallejo, California.
This letter is directed primarily to the sophomoric stance of the author who advocates legalizing marijuana and is so sincerely dedicated to his noble cause, he's even written a book. Who is the publisher of this drivel? Truly, everyone should buy the book when it is published to understand the principles behind the theory that a little education is a dangerous thing. His writings, based on simplistic arguments and shallow reasoning, prove the exact opposite of his intended purpose. And this, my friend, is a very good thing, because legalizing marijuana is the first step into very serious chemical addiction, a path to total and absolute destruction.
Ooh, that sounds scary. It's a good thing, then, that we've kept marijuana illegal so that we don't introduce any serious chemical addiction into America. That way, we can lock up the marijuana addicts into maximum security prisons where they will never be able to get their hands on drugs. Oh, excuse me a moment. Monkeys just flew out of my butt. Please, sir, continue.
He stated that Michael Phelps' indulgence is making international headlines, though it is difficult to understand why. Well, he said it best. He cannot understand why. Sir, if you want your child to become an athletic superhero, a financial guru, or to just blend into a group of his peers who choose to enhance relaxation, to be able to manage the challenges and demands of living in contemporary modern society, you'd approve of your child using pot? That is pathetic. You don't have a clue.
Supporting Michael Phelps' right as an adult to use cannabis means we approve of children using pot? Apparently, your critique of simplistic arguments and shallow reasoning is gained from personal experience.
There are more toxic chemicals and poisons in marijuana than are in nicotine.
Oh, yep, and that is 100% true. Because there's only one toxic chemical in nicotine. Nicotine. For that matter, there are more toxic chemicals and poisons, and other redundancies, in beer and Fugu than there are in nicotine, but you're not clamoring for prohibition of Budweiser or pufferfish sushi, are you?
You stated that 70% of current marijuana users are gainfully employed, but you fail to mention that the remaining 30%, three times our current unemployment rate, are in rehabilitation clinics or laying in doorways or the gutters.
Don't you love the circular logic that employs drug testing to weed out the weed lovers, then points to higher unemployment of weed lovers as a sign that loving weed will make you an unemployed loser? It's kind of like arresting pot smokers and sentencing them to rehab clinics, then pointing to high rates of pot smokers in rehab as a sign that smoking pot is addictive.
As a retired law enforcement officer...
Surprise, surprise, surprise!
Did you ever stop to think that, as a cop, the only pot smokers you'd ever encounter would be the problematic ones? Asking a cop his opinions of the average pot smoker is like asking a flounder its opinions on shipbuilding. The only ships a flounder has ever seen are the sunken ones.
I can personally attest to the peace and freedom riots in Berkeley during the Vietnam War, the drug lord Timothy Leary in San Francisco, and how thousands literally lost their minds and their lives by experimenting with LSD.
Well, Good thing we're not talking about some article Paul never wrote on LSD, huh?
I have visited their rural campsites in Northern California and Oregon. These people share one thing in common. Marijuana. A very large percentage of all potheads end up using more serious chemicals and become alcoholics.
Yes, and that very large percentage might be as big as 14%. According to government surveys, 14.4 million Americans 12 or older used marijuana in the past month. That same survey put the monthly cocaine users, including crack, at 2 million, hallucinogen users, including LSD, PCP, and ecstasy, at about 1 million, meth users at about 500,000, and heroin users at 150,000. So, at best, 1 out of 7, and that's if you assume everybody doing coke, ecstasy, acid, angel dust, speed, and smack are all also using marijuana concurrently, which I highly doubt because marijuana cuts a coke or speed high, and if you're on heroin, marijuana's the last thing on your mind. I would bet that less than 5% of regular marijuana users ever use any other drug, and a large portion of those would be mushroom, LSD, and ecstasy.
And the vast majority of our enormous prison population are seriously addicted to one chemical or another. Additionally, nearly 90% of our teenage suicides involve marijuana or some other drug.
There's a statistic from the Department of Right Out of Your Ass. Considering that 52.9% of people 12 to 20 have used alcohol, and 9.5% of people 12 to 17 have used an illicit drug, it seems likely to me that plenty of teenage suicides would have drug or cannabis use in their past. I think it's more useful to note that depressed teens who kill themselves often try to self-medicate with drugs or cannabis. According to teendepression.org, 90% of teenage suicides are attributable to mental illness, like depression, bipolar disorder, and schizophrenia, and that substance abuse actually accounts for only 20 to 50% of teen suicide attempts.
If I were you, I would write another book because you are advocating a most destructive course of action for our young adults. It does not matter how many punks use marijuana, regardless of their stature in life. Charles Manson and his bloodthirsty group were constant users of marijuana.
I understand they were constant listeners to the Beatles as well. Every time I hear Maxwell's Silver Hammer, I just want to bop a prohibitionist in the head.
And believe it or not, our laws are designed to protect people like us from people like you. Good luck. You need all you can get. Lyndon E. Lafferty, Vallejo, California.
People like us and people like you. There you have it. The crystalline, distilled essence of the prohibitionist mind. It has nothing to do with marijuana, the mildly psychotropic flower, and everything to do with oppressing people like you.
Well, I smoke some marijuana with some people I like, just like everybody does from the East Coast to the West. I didn't even notice the cop on the bike. Didn't know I was about to be the 20 millionth marijuana arrest. Should have fought for marijuana law reform. Should have gone to the web and typed in norm. Norm to the L.org. Normal drop the A.org, baby.
National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is the largest grassroots drug law reform organization in America. So every Monday we visit with the activists in drug law reform who are fighting for our freedom. Freedom, the freedom. I'm committed to whatever I want. Get motivated to get it regulated. join us in some political activism today, you can start by visiting norml.org. As we look all across the country, it's time to go down to the Lone Star State, the great state of Texas. We're going to speak with the director of Texas Normal, Josh Schimberg. And Josh, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot for having me on, Russ. I really appreciate it. Glad to be back on.
Well, excellent. Now, Texas Normal, Texas is an awfully big state. So where exactly in Texas are you?
Texas Normal is based in the state capital in Austin, which is kind of in the center of the state of Texas. It's a little bit more probably to the east than the center because it takes about 10 to 12 hours to get to El Paso. But we're here where the government's run, and it's where all the action is as far as legislation and stuff like that.
Yeah, and Austin's home of University of Texas, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, so if I understand Texas politics and the demographics of Texas, and maybe I don't, but Austin and the surrounding area, isn't that kind of like politically a whole lot different than the rest of Texas?
Yeah, Austin is kind of like the, I guess you would say, progressive oasis in the huge sea of red conservatism in Texas, mm-hmm. pretty much. You can even, it's so stark differences that you can literally cross out of Austin into the neighboring counties, and there's a noticeable, well-known difference in the attitudes that you get from law enforcement and local government.
How difficult does that make your job with Texas Normal when you're fighting so much of these surrounding counties and this prevailing attitude in Texas that seems to be kind of anti-cannabis?
It can be pretty tough. The local law enforcement in Austin and specifically in Travis County, which is what makes up the bulk of Austin, they've historically been kind of lenient on our group and on, you know, the cannabis culture as it is. I mean, if anybody's ever spent much time in Austin or been to things, whether it's Austin City Limits Music Festival, the Reggae Festival, you know that it's a really lenient type place. But again, you know, if you think that it's going to be that lenient when you travel 6 miles north into Williamson County, you would be sorely mistaken about that. The hardest part really is convincing a lot of these surrounding municipalities that what Austin has been doing as far as being lenient on these things and taking a progressive approach to certain things is that it's working. And it's an uphill battle, but it's something that we feel like we're slowly making progress on.
Well, I think so. And to look at that, you know, we'd only have to look a little bit further east. Last year in Amarillo, I did a story on Jeff Blackburn, an attorney out there who had managed to get a medical marijuana patient off of marijuana possession charges by asserting what's called an affirmative defense, which basically says that you had to break the law or you would have had more harm than if you had not broken the law. And speaking of that affirmative defense, that's where I wanted to get into what's happening at the State House there in Austin and let you tell our listeners that they don't that there is some marijuana law reform going on in Texas. It's really, you know, an amazing time there.
There definitely is. The Texas legislature unfortunately only works once every 2 years. So there's an off year and then there's an on year. 2009 is the on year. And this session is the 81st session of the Texas legislature, and the first marijuana-related bill that was introduced this year was HB 164, and that is an affirmative defense bill and it would cover the whole state, obviously. It was authored by Representative Elliot Neistat, who is an Austin representative, and it was co-authored by Representative Lon Burnham out of Fort Worth and Representative Jim Jackson out of Carrollton, which is a suburb of Dallas. HB 164 would provide a affirmative defense for patients who are using marijuana for medical reasons. And more importantly, it would protect doctors who recommend the cannabis to these patients from any punitive actions taken against them. Whereas right now, a doctor who is found to have been recommending marijuana to patients could potentially lose their license to practice in Texas.
Now, how does this affirmative defense bill, HB 164, differ from what would be called medical marijuana bill? I mean, what's the difference there?
Well, this wouldn't have any, or it doesn't have any provisions for registering patients with the state. It would be whether or not a person is a medical marijuana patient would be strictly between them and their doctor, unless and until they had to use that defense, and then, of course, that would be brought up in court. Mm-hmm. Most of the other medical marijuana bills around the nation have some sort of provision to register the medical marijuana users, keep track of them, and, of course, we all know a lot of these states also have provisions allowing people to cultivate their own medicine, or even have places, people who grow for patients, but that's not something that's a part of the bill in Texas right now.
Yeah. And so under this affirmative defense, then Texans who are using marijuana medically, could they still be arrested?
They could still be arrested. However, there was a bill that was passed during the last legislative session that made it the choice of law enforcement, at the discretion of law enforcement, to not arrest individuals for possession of up to 4 ounces as long as that person was stopped in the county of their residence.
Mm.
The problem with that is, like I was saying about all of the conservative places around Texas, a lot of these places have publicly said that they're not going to use the provision of that bill to not arrest marijuana smokers.
Sure.
The only place in Texas that has publicly said that they're going to be doing that is Austin and Travis County, which Austin is in. So, yes, the medical marijuana patients could still be arrested, and like that case that you're talking about in Amarillo, in a lot of places they probably will still be arrested. But under state law, if this bill passes, they will have an affirmative defense, regardless of what the circumstances were, as long as they were using it for medicinal purposes.
Yeah.
And that might be potentially a deterrent to local law enforcement to arrest people who are using it for medicinal purposes.
Sure.
You know, because they don't, I mean, some places they'll arrest them anyways, but a lot of people will look at it and say, well, you know, this person's using this for medical reasons. It could be a great waste of our time and the taxpayers' money to try to arrest them, bring them in, put them on trial when we know that they have an affirmative defense under state law.
Yeah. These affirmative defense statutes, really, what they seem to be to me is like the smallest baby step you can take toward medical marijuana. It says that they can still arrest you, they can still take you to trial, and then after all of that, then maybe you can get off the charges, whereas medical marijuana is more like preventing you from getting arrested in the first place. But I can see why that would be the way to go in Texas, just because, like you say, you're fighting such a conservative climate there that to try to go for full-scale medical marijuana probably just would be a political non-starter.
It's so hard. You know, Representative Neistat, the author of HB 164, he's put this bill forward in the way that it is for the past three sessions here in Texas. And when he first started working on this bill, he was working with this other organization out of Texas that's now defunct called Texans for Medical Marijuana, and they had originally intended to have provisions that allowed for patients to be registered and allowed for patients to grow their own medicine. But from what I heard, Representative Neistat was pretty much almost laughed out of the meeting that he had with people because they were saying, do you really think that's going to fly at the Capitol?
Right.
So they kind of had to rethink it and try to figure out a way, even if it's the smallest baby step, to at least
take a step.
At least take a step.
Yeah.
And at least try to bring a little bit of protection to the people who need it the most, which is, you know, the people who really need to be using the cannabis for something that's a medical reason.
Sure thing. And you know, the other side of this, then, aside from the medical side, is the social side of cannabis. And you've even got a bill that addresses that in the legislature.
That's right. We have a second bill that's related to marijuana. It's House Bill 902. And that is relating to minor possession of marijuana up to 1 ounce. House Bill 902 was authored by Representative Harold Dutton, who is a longstanding member of the Texas House from the Houston area. And what House Bill 902 would do is, let me start out by saying what Texas law is right now. Currently, possession of up to 2 ounces of marijuana in Texas is a Class B misdemeanor. And what that means is you could get up to 180 days in jail or up to a $2,000 fine. If House Bill 902 were to pass, it would break that 2 ounce possession down into 1 ounce and then 2 ounces, to where if you possessed up to an ounce, it would be a Class C misdemeanor, which is basically a ticketable offense. There's no jail time, no arrest. So it's a decriminalization bill for up to an ounce of marijuana possession. And this bill has been introduced before as well. It hasn't obviously passed, but Representative Dutton is really good about bringing this subject up on a regular basis in the Capitol.
Well, that's great, and we're looking forward to checking up on the updates of that as the Texas legislative session goes on. And just so people can get to know more about Texas Normal and get involved here, guys, got any events that are happening soon or websites where they can get more information?
Yeah, Texas Normal's website is www.texasnormal.org. You can also type in texasnormal.com. I believe it'll take you to the same place. We are also on MySpace, myspace.com/texasnormal. As far as events that are coming up, spring is usually one of the busiest times for us, and with it being a legislative year, we've had all kinds of events going on. The next things that we have is for South by Southwest, which is a huge music festival that happens yearly in Austin in March. We're going to have some people from High Times in town, and David Bienenstock, who authored a new book, which is called The Pot Smoker's Handbook. He will be in town doing a book signing on Saturday, March 14th at Brave New Books at 3 p.m., and it's going to be a fundraiser for Texas Normal, and obviously it'll be a meet and greet with David Bienenstock. And the following weekend after that, during the music part of South by Southwest, High Times is going to be hosting their annual South by Southwest party and Doobie Awards presentation here in Austin. After that, we'll be having a heavy metal show for Texas Normal on Saturday, April 4th at Rudemaya Coffee House. And further on in the future, first weekend of May, we're going to be doing the Million Marijuana March, which here in Austin we call the Texas Cannabis Crusade. So, we've got things going on all the time. So we have monthly meetings the first Wednesday of every month at 8 p.m., and those are at Hickory Street Bar and Grill downtown, just a block and a half from the Capitol. So look us up on texasnormal.org. We've got information on those bills. We've got information on our events, and we've got links to other Texas chapters of Normal, whether it's DFW, San Antonio, Houston. We're trying to work together with all of them and make these changes in laws happen in Texas for sure.
Great work you're doing down there in Austin, and we're really hoping for some positive law reform changes in the Lone Star State. Josh Schimberg is the director for Texas Normal at texasnormal.org. Thank you so much for lightening up our day here on The Stash.
Thanks again for having me, Russ. I really appreciate it, and fight on, everybody.
Right on. Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana. It's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you. The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your toker tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. Red Dirt brings us today's music on Message Monday with their smooth yet hard-hitting The Pot Song, which was nominated in 2007's Marijuana Music Awards. Having spent many a stoned hour contemplating life and love, the band are cynical, obscure, and insightful. Red Dirt's music is a mix of folk, jazz, and strong lyrics. The band rail against the establishment with a knowing grin and aim a bold statement at corruption. The duo have been playing together as Red Dirt for 2 years, but have over 40 years of musical experience between them. Red Dirt's debut album of original material, Go Go USA, met with critical acclaim. The band are currently working on their second album. If you want to hear music that's entertaining, thought-provoking, and amusing, check out Red Dirt at reddirt.co.uk and myspace.com/reddirtacoustic. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Red Dirt with The Pot Song.
Just a little thought, some silly song. Know what you'll say, you say I'm all gone. I've opened my mind to this little green seed. Could help us with pollution and the economy. And this little miracle of God to ascend. It's got lots of names, a hay, let's call it hemp. It's the fastest natural resource the world's ever seen. It's got 77% cellulose, that's a lot more than trees, we say. So many uses, from textiles to tents. Build your house at a lot less expense. You can burn it as a fuel to say make electricity. It would be a lot nicer to the air that we breathe, we say. Top quality paper for the dollars you dream. Rubs up to medicines and the proteins we need. Paints, fabrics, varnishes, is money well spent. Lincoln himself writ his treaty on hemp. But you tell me I'm wrong.
Tell me I'm wrong.
You tell me I'm wrong.
Tell me I'm wrong.
You say, yeah, that I'm too gone for you. Whoopie-doo. So is a drug would like your cigarettes, your money and your coffee and those TV sets. Alcohol maybe is the one you should fear. It kills 100,000 of you every year. In 10,000 years no one has died of a toke. What's not very nice is that CIA coke. I know what you say, it's the devil I'm from. Would you fuck me into office if I built you a bomb? Tell me I'm wrong.
Tell me I'm wrong.
You tell me I'm wrong.
Tell me I'm wrong.
You say, yeah, that I'm too gone. Mm-hmm.
Assassins, muggings, rapists, killings for greed. But you'd lock me up just for growing a weed. Everyone knows that nothing makes sense. You can lie and cheat on the blind, but you cannot smoke hemp. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong.
Tell me I'm wrong.
You say yeah, but I'm too gone for you. Whoopie doo. I want you to tell me I'm wrong.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Tell me I'm wrong.
You say yeah, but I'm too gone for you.
Whoopie doo.
I'm a normal guy. I like the outdoors. I work a 9-to-5. And I use marijuana recreationally and responsibly in the privacy of my own home. Recently, I became one of the 20 million Americans who have been arrested for a marijuana-related offense. Now I face jail time and my future is in jeopardy. But couldn't police resources have been spent more wisely? After all, 90% of all marijuana-related arrests are for simple possession. Is this normal?
We've been really busy here at Normal, taking a look all around the country at various reform efforts, but sometimes you may find yourself in a state or an area without a local Normal chapter near you. And you might be thinking, well, how do I get a local Normal chapter? And really, you can start one. It's really up to you. We are a grassroots movement. And here to talk about that is a man who's just started his own Normal chapter in his area, Benjamin Wilhelm with Western Pennsylvania Normal. And Benjamin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Russ.
Well, first of all, let's tell the people it's Western Pennsylvania Normal. For people that might not know the geography too well, what cities, what area are we talking about?
Well, we're all over the western half of the state. We're based right outside of Pittsburgh. But we also have membership in most of the colleges on this half of the state, including Pitt, Slippery Rock, and IUP.
What's it like politically in Western Pennsylvania? What are people's attitudes toward marijuana?
So far, we've had great acceptance. The amount of support we've got has been unbelievable, especially with the local music scene.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't gotten a chance to do too much work in politics yet. But looking forward to it.
So what was it that made you want to get involved with Normal?
Well, I've been following the efforts for years, and there just wasn't any way to participate locally.
And you just took it upon yourself? You said, well, if someone's going to do it, maybe might as well be me, huh?
Yeah, well, it's an idea that me and my friends talked about for a couple of years, and I just finally had enough free time to really put it into motion.
Did you find it difficult to start your chapter? Were the instructions easy to understand and everything?
Yeah, all I had to do was a little bit of internet research to find out about the differences in starting a nonprofit corporation, but it went pretty smoothly.
Yeah. Do you worry at all as, you know, being a member of a board of, you know, somebody dedicated to fighting for end of adult marijuana prohibition, do you worry about, you know, employers or the public or anybody knowing that you're involved with Normal like this? I mean, I guess obviously not, right?
No, I think that we're now the majority, and I really believe in what we stand for. So
oh, wow.
If anybody has a problem with that, then that's too bad.
I like the way you put that. Now, if people want to get involved with Western Pennsylvania Normal, where can they look on the web to be able to get more information?
They can go to our website at www.wpanormal.org or our MySpace at myspace.com/WPANormal.
All right. So people should be able to find it in either of those locations. And as being a Normal chapter, part of what we do is we try to inform the public and hold events and try to let the public know that they have nothing to fear from those of us who are cannabis consumers, and that if we legalize marijuana, the sky wouldn't fall. So what are you guys doing at Western Pennsylvania Normal to promote that message and to maybe raise some funds for your chapter?
Well, tomorrow, it's Saturday the 7th, we're having our first big membership drive and fundraiser called What's Normal, featuring two local bands and five local DJs. We have two bars and two stages. That's starting at 7 o'clock tomorrow. And then also on May 2nd, we're trying to organize a rally to commemorate the Global Cannabis March.
Oh, that'll be great. A lot of chapters get together on that first Saturday in May to participate in the Global Cannabis March. If you want to learn more about that in your area, just check out globalmarijuanamarch.org, and you can get more information on that. And we'll definitely promote your city in the march, too, when we get closer to May there, Benjamin. So this event on Saturday, tomorrow Saturday, what time, where do people need to go?
Well, the doors are going to open at 7 o'clock, and that is at 818 Raccoon Street in Aliquippa, PA. It's a place called the Fallout Shelter, which is downstairs of Sheffield Lanes.
Can you spell that city name for me?
That's Aliquippa, Aliquippa.
Okay, 818 Raccoon Street, Aliquippa, PA. We'll get that up on the activist alerts calendar as well, so people can... We'll get that up on the Activist Agenda calendar as well, so people can get the Google map to that and everything. That's another way we like to keep people involved here. And now, you know, looking at this as someone who's starting a brand new chapter, and just personally speaking, what led you to the cannabis movement, even before you were involved with Normal?
Well, just simply love of cannabis, I guess.
Yeah?
I've been a smoker for more than half of my life, and have been arrested for it quite a few times.
I see.
I don't think that's right, and I don't like how there's any chance that it can hurt my future.
Yeah. So were the arrests...
25 and a college student, and I hate the idea that it could lead to me losing financial aid, make it so much harder to get a job coming out into the job market.
Mm-hmm. Did you find that the arrests were something that motivated you to want to make a change?
Definitely. I was also recently motivated last year. One of my good friends got arrested for growing. And after that, you know, they really, really got the gears going on getting motivated and getting out to actually get things started instead of just talking about it.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of folks that are like you that, you know, that smoke marijuana and they don't really think of it much politically until something happens to them or someone close to them gets busted or raided or arrested, goes to jail, whatever. What would you tell people out there who might want to join Western Pennsylvania Normal or who are just pot smokers listening to this that haven't been arrested or haven't gotten into any trouble? Why should they stick their necks out and become known as a Normal supporter when they could just lay low and stay in the closet?
Well, I mean, you never know what's going to happen to you. And if more regular smokers don't start coming out of the closet, there's never going to be change.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of, you know, just manning up and being brave about it and, you know, standing up for your rights, huh?
Yeah. It's
all right.
I think it's standing up as your rights as a duty as an American.
I agree with you. I think that it's wrong to be silent in the face of this kind of injustice. I think that, you know, the old saying from the 60s was, if you're not a part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And I think that applies here with the cannabis community. If you're just sitting back, smoking weed and buying a bag every now and then and not joining Normal, not contributing to end this adult marijuana prohibition, then you're part of the problem. Would you agree with that?
Definitely.
All right. Well, Benjamin, thank you so much for joining us here. Again, for people that are interested, it's Western Pennsylvania Normal out in the Pittsburgh area, WPANormal.org or myspace.com/WPANormal. And we'll be talking to you again sometime around May as we get close to the march.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thanks so much, Benjamin. Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We'd leave today with some reminders from our activist agenda at stash.normal.org/agenda. This Tuesday, we have two hearings, one at 10 a.m. Eastern Time in New Hampshire on House Bill 648, a medical marijuana measure, and at the same time, in the Mountain Time Zone, 8 a.m. Mountain, on Montana's House Bill 541, a decriminalization measure. This Friday on ABC TV, on the 2020 program, there will be a segment on Bowl in America, where John Stossel investigates the legalization of marijuana. And also just a thought about daylight savings time. Now that we've moved to daylight savings time, we've actually added another 4:20 in the American day. Hawaii doesn't recognize daylight savings time, adding another hour in between Alaska and Hawaii. Just a little trivia, the kind of thing I think about here at the Stash. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.